A very good Thursday. Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture's Office of Environmental Farming and Innovation has announced $7.4 million in grants to organizations to provide technical assistance to help farmers and ranchers use water more efficiently. The funding was appropriated to the California Emergency Relief Fund by the Budget Act of 2021 to maintain and precisely calibrate agriculture irrigation systems. Under the Water Efficiency Technical Assistance Program, the awarded organizations will provide producers with important services to maintain and finally tune the use of their irrigation systems, including providing on-farm irrigation system evaluations, coordinating or providing pump efficiency testing, providing training on water use efficiency and nutrient management practices and technology. The department is awarding 17 grants with terms of 3 years. This is the second round of the WETA program. The first awards were announced in 2022. The WETA grant program is designed to facilitate technical assistance to agricultural operations for on-farm water and energy use efficiency and nutrient management. Producers interested in receiving training or services provided through WETA can review the list of awarded organizations with contact information by going to the CDFA website. Senator Melissa Hurtado, a Democrat from Bakersfield, has released a statement in response to anonymous investors buying nearly $1 billion in agricultural land near Travis Air Force Base. She says since the start of the pandemic, she has witnessed an increase in agricultural land sales purchased by private interests. The $1 billion transaction near the Air Force Base is extremely concerning, especially since California had the ability to be proactive by passing Senate Bill 1084 in 2022 and Senate Bill 224 this legislative session. Both bills would have increased transparency on agricultural land transactions, enhanced their understanding on the present status of foreign ownership of agricultural land, and put California in control of the food supply chain by preventing foreign governments from purchasing agricultural land. The bills also would have mandated annual reporting by the California Office of Emergency Services on foreign ownership of California's agricultural land, water rights, desalinization plants, and energy facilities. In addition to bipartisan and bicameral legislative efforts, Senator Hurtado last year requested the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate possible water rights abuses. The request came in response to the increase of agricultural land purchases across western states by hedge funds to help determine whether anti-competitive practices were occurring and the potential impact to their water security. An investment group strategically obscuring its ownership, giving conflicting accounts on its intentions near sensitive military sites, and refusing to engage with local community leaders deserves greater scrutiny in advance of its agricultural land purchases. At the federal level, they need continued risk assessment by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. At the state level, not only do they need legislation like Senate Bill 224, but they also need to update their regulations and disclosures of any lobbying done on behalf of foreign interests. Unfortunately, she says Senate Bill 224 died in the Senate Appropriations Committee this year, and Governor Newsom vetoed Senate Bill 1084 in 2022. Burroughs Family Farms is now celebrating that they are now certified as regenerative, which goes beyond the usual definition of organic. They grow almonds east of Denair. The almond butters and snack nuts can now be purchased on large-scale websites like Amazon, as well as at Whole Foods markets. Organic mainly refers to no pesticides or synthetic fertilizers. Regenerative involves extra steps to build the soil, such as sowing other plants amid the trees and letting livestock graze there at times. According to fourth-generation managing partner Benina Montez, their family has been farming for over 100 years, and it is their goal to leave the land better than they found it. According to a company press release, the Burroughs is the first almond grower in the world to be regenerative certified. California accounts for about 80% of the global supply. The release says the vast majority is grown with chemicals. Yolo County will be holding their first annual Farm Worker Day Resource Fair next month. Agricultural Labor Coordinator Rodrigo Lopez kicked off the Health and Human Service Agency's Agricultural Worker Update to the Board of Supervisors during a recent meeting with information about the upcoming resource fair. Yolo County is home to nearly 8,000 farm workers who are essential not only to the county's economy, but also to the global food supply. In 2021, State Governor Gavin Newsom signed Senate Bill 721 designating August 26th of each year as California Farm Worker Day. Back in February, HHSA launched a financial assistance program that used American Rescue Plan funds to provide grants for farm workers. Criteria included being currently unemployed and proof of past work in agriculture in Yolo County. Of the 300 applicants received, 200 were approved and received $1,000 on a prepaid MasterCard. Lopez noted during this financial assistance program, staff noticed many of the inquiries coming in were related to a lack of knowledge about resources. Farm workers did not know who to connect with or how to get assistance with the resources they required, so they came up with this event, which focuses on the resources locally, whether it's legal, health, labor rights, or housing. Reedley, California-based Fruit World, the fresh and creative fruit company dedicated to keeping family farms thriving, has announced the start of their highly anticipated California grape season, delivering a program that provides consistent flavor, variety, and a direct line to the farm, according to the company. They've increased production of their specialty grape varieties that, according to Bianca Caprilian, co-founder and CEO of Fruit World, she says they aim to cultivate a small yet mighty, primarily specialty grape program that will delight their customers with unique flavors. The Fruit World grape program features innovative and heritage varieties and runs now through October. The season starts with grapes from organic pioneer Pete Wolf, one of California's first certified organic grape farmers. These heritage vines come in black, red, and green and are sure to sell out quickly. The next to ramp up is the knockout nostalgic variety, the organic Thomcord. The cross between a juicy Concord grape and a tender-skinned Thompson seedless grape results in a multi-generational, crowd-pleasing flavor, according to the company. Rounding out the Fruit World program is the Kyoho, a Japanese gem that grows in the round, uniform bunches packed with flavor. The Kyoho variety is wildly popular in Asian markets, but has quickly become mainstream due to its sweet and subtle tang, making it a perfect ingredient for desserts and cocktails. In our constant quest for positive change, Fruit World boldly transitioned our grape program out of plastic pouch bags into more environmentally friendly paper tote bags, pleasing customers' desire for sustainable packaging. To further engage our customers, Fruit World includes a comment card in each retail pack of their organic Thomcord seedless grapes. The card tells the story of co-founder CJ Buxman and why he grows the grape. Each card includes a phone number, inviting shoppers to text their Thomcord Tales experience and to share their questions, feedback, and comments.
For decades, University of California Davis plant pathologists have conducted annual field trials that compare the efficacy of commercially available fungicides against powdery mildew in grapes. Dr. Akif Escalon took over the program for Dr. Doug Gubler in 2018. The trials include conventional fungicides, biologicals, and organic products, as well as a few experimentals. Part of the trials involve a field day where growers, PCAs, and industry representatives can visit the vineyard on the UC Davis campus and view the results firsthand. During a recent field day, Escalon also gave a lesson in Plant Pathology 101, as well as a refresher on the disease triangle.
So this is the field trial for how to manage or prevent and control of the grapevine powdery mildew with using different synthetic, organic, biological products. So what you see here is that all these different products applied in this field trial to show you that which one is working better comparing with the control. That's all we are doing right now. I started with my predecessor, late Dr. Doug Gubler. I was a postdoc in his laboratory 20 years ago, and then I started working in this trial. So he's the one who also not only worked and established this kind of field fungicide screening trial, but also worked on the risk model, powdery mildew risk model. So which means it's based on the environmental condition management to tell you that how much risk of the powdery mildew that you have based on the environmental condition. Now that index, risk index, has been utilized by the growers and different location and everything. So that's a very, very useful information. We still use that information. Anyway, so in 2018, I took over Dr. Gubler's position after he retired. Now he passed away, unfortunately. And I took over and then same trial. And then since then, I have been running these field trials, not only for the powdery mildew, but also we have trial for the botrytis in a different location, grapevine trunk disease, pruning wound protection, pear scab, and other trial as well.
Escalon said many of the treatments involved a program approach where different modes of action were used throughout the season. The modes are based on the Fungicide Resistance Action Committee groupings. He said rotating different families of fungicides was important to slow resistance from developing. Already, powder mildew has confirmed resistance against strobilurin fungicides, also known as QOIs. So far, the pathogen has shown no resistance to sulfur, another popular fungicide. It has two built-in modes of action, contact and vaporization.
I wish that we can apply the same chemical and then get away with the powdery mildew control all the time. The problem is that when you are trying to control the pathogen and applying the same kind of mode of action of the chemical, pathogen is smart. Somehow they survive, and then they develop a resistance against the whatever you are trying to apply to over and over and over. Because of that, we know that it's important to alternate with the different frag group to apply the different program to a kind of reduce the possibility of the resistance of the pathogen. That's why it's very important to get this program. In this trial, we try to show you individual fungicide, a combination of the program fungicide and combination of the biological and also organic, to show you which one is the that you prefer to apply in your vineyard.
Well, Escalon said synthetic fungicides tended to work faster and provide a longer residual than biologicals or organic. He said growers and PCAs should take an integrated approach and alternate the different classes. This helps slow resistance. He also encouraged growers and PCAs to do their homework, keep an open mind, and study trial results like his.
In a conventional vineyard, if you are not, fully organic and biological, what I see is that the rule of thumb that the synthetic chemicals work better than the biological and organics. But our goal here is that the application of the integrated pest management, which means that how we can reduce the number of the application in our vineyard with the getting the best control or managing of the powdery mildew. So in a conventional vineyard, instead of applying all the synthetic, if you can alternate with those biological and organics, if that could first reduce the number of the application for you, synthetic chemical, and second, you are going to be reducing the chance of the resistance from the pathogen. So that's all I can see. So because of that, it's very, very important to open up a little bit your view. And instead of going with what your neighbor has done it, or what you have heard, or what your company representatives are telling you, that do a little bit more homework and then get a little bit research results like we are doing right here to get a better control or management of the powdery mildew in your vineyard.
This year was prime for powdery mildew development, which allowed Escalon and his lab to really put fungicides to the test. They also used the Chenin Blanc variety, which is highly susceptible. In fact, the untreated control had 100% infection. For any pathogen to develop, you must have all three parts of the disease triangle: an effective pathogen, powdery mildew, a host, in this case grapes, and the proper environment. The winter rains created a lot of moisture in the vineyards, but it was the cool spring and leaf wetness, not the rain, that really set the stage for powdery mildew. Escalon said optimum conditions for powdery mildew development and reproduction are between 55 and 85 degrees.
I am a plant pathologist. In the plant pathology discipline, what we have is that the disease triangle. So which means that in order to have a disease, you need effective pathogen, which is pathogenic, you need susceptible host, but these two are not enough to have disease. In order to have a disease, you have to have a very good, right environmental condition. In powdery mildew, that environmental condition is the leaf wetness, which is moisture, not rain, precipitation, and also temperature. So between the 50 to 85 or 70 to 85 is the perfect temperature for the powdery mildew, which is very, very important. That's why when we are educating our future plant pathologists, we start from the disease triangle to have them better understand. If you manage or work with the environmental condition, you can also find a way to manage your pathogen. So that's very important. For example, you brought up this year. This year, we had a very good condition, environmental condition for the disease to show up in California. We had a wet, rainy, moist winter and cooler spring. And then later on, we had a lot of cooler temperature for powdery mildew to thrive and then grow very fast. So it's very important. This year was, if you can see that from our field, that we have in our control 100% disease pressure, which is the good place to compare those products.
The trial in Davis is devoted to rating fungicides in a wine grape vineyard. But because table grapes involve different varieties and cultural practices, Escalon said he had trials for that crop in the Central Valley. In addition to powdery mildew and botrytis, he also has trials looking at sour rot management.
So we also have a trial on table grapes. I got to tell you that the wine grape is different culture than the table grape growing culture, as you all may know about it. So they also have the control for the powdery mildew and also botrytis and sour rot, which is another big post-harvest issues. So we have trials on table grape, on powdery mildew, one location, and botrytis and sour rot in three different locations in Central Valley.
To view Escalon's fungicide trials, including those in wine and table grapes, Google Escalon Lab. That's E-S-K-A-L-E-N Lab. From the Google results, click on Home Escalon Lab. Then on the left-hand tan menu, click on Fruit Crop Fungicide Efficacy Trials. Not only will you be able to view this year's results, but Escalon has compiled reports from several years ago, including many from Gubler's tenure. This is Vicki Boyd reporting for My Ag Life.
What's behind this summer's widespread global heat wave? USA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford has the story.
Searing heat, deadly heat, continues to cover over half the world, setting daily records for heat in many places. Of course, many people attribute the heat to general climate change, but in particular,
one of the culprits in this expansive northern hemispheric heat, clearly the warm water related to El Nino and elsewhere in the world's oceans.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says El Nino is a periodic warming of the waters of parts of the equatorial Pacific Ocean, which also affects the temperature of the atmosphere. Rippey says the warmth in the ocean and in the air
is being spread across the globe, expanding into the atmosphere. And that is one of the big contributing factors to what is expected to be an ongoing very, very warm year in 2023.
In fact, possibly
one of the very warmest that we've ever seen.
Official numbers for July will be out on August 8th. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Senators Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, and Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio, have introduced legislation to rein in abuse of the farm payment system and ensure support goes to those actively engaged in farming. The Farm Program Integrity Act would create a hard cap of $250,000 in total commodity support for any one farm operation and require beneficiaries of the system to spend at least 50% of each year engaged in farm labor management. Currently, just 10% of farm operations receive 70% of all yearly farm payment subsidies. This bill brings honesty to the farm payment system and prioritizes farming families over mega farms, according to Brown. He says too often, farm program payments have gone to producers who don't need support to people who aren't even involved in farming. Wisconsin Representative Derek Van Orden has introduced the Dairy Business Innovation Act in the House. It's a companion bill to legislation in the Senate. Van Orden says the bill would allocate an additional $16 million per year to USDA's dairy business innovation initiatives.
So the current funding level is $20 million. We're increasing it to $16 million, so it'll be a total of $36 million. It goes to four different centers, one in Tennessee, one in Vermont, one at the University of Wisconsin, and then another one out in Fresno, California. This does a really good job of making sure that we got the four corners covered, essentially, to get everybody the help that they need in the dairy industry.
USDA's Dairy Business Innovation Initiative support dairy businesses in the development, production, marketing, and distribution of dairy products.
I'm not a big fan of big government, honestly, but we have to understand the dairy industry is vital, not just to our economy, but to our culture in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm completely happy making sure that when we can help our dairy industry out, that we do so. If we want to have smaller and medium farms going, they're going to need some more assistance because they simply don't have the capital available that larger operations do. This is good governance in play, and it's going to be a bipartisan, bicameral bill, and hopefully the president will sign it.
Senator Tammy Baldwin, a Wisconsin Democrat, introduced the legislation in the Senate a few weeks ago. Baldwin started the effort through the Dairy Business Innovation Act in 2018, which passed as part of the 2018 Farm Bill. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has released version 3.0 of its free USDA Market News mobile application with new functionality that includes new tabs so that users can easily access price data for organic commodities, find consumer retail marketing reports, and review international market reports. The app, which was first launched in February of 2022 and expanded in June of 2022, provides agricultural producers and others in the supply chain with instant access to current market information. In addition, newly released reports will be identified within the app and will be visible as the first items in searches. Commodity reports and lists will be grouped and identified more clearly, and user subscription and favorite lists will be paired together to allow them to be managed more easily. The app allows users to search for current and historical reports by location, state, or commodity. Users can also add reports to their favorites for easier access, share reports via text or email, subscribe to reports, and share the aggregated data behind reports via email for additional analysis. The app provides real-time notifications when a new report is published without any delays. Both iOS and Android versions of the app are available to download through the Apple and Google Play stores. Search for USDA Market News mobile application to download the app. A multi-industry coalition outlined recommended changes to the Waters of the U.S. rule in a letter to the Biden administration. Farm News reporter Michael Clements.
The Waters Advocacy Coalition this week sent recommendations to the Environmental Protection Agency and Army Corps of Engineers regarding the final Waters of the United States rule as it relates to the Supreme Court decision in Sackett v. EPA. Courtney Briggs, American Farm Bureau Federation Senior Director of Government Affairs, says the coalition is a multi-industry alliance based in Washington, D.C.
We have about 45 trade organizations that represent a large portion of the national economy. We are everything from farming and agriculture to construction to manufacturing, energy development, transportation infrastructure, and recreation. So we cover a large gamut of the national economy.
The letter outlines the recommendations the coalition would like to see in a new WOTUS rule.
The agencies have stated that they intend to make surgical fixes, and it appears that the agencies will forego public comment and stakeholder engagement and take the rule that they finalized earlier this year and simply strike language from the rule related to significant nexus as well as the definition of adjacency. So we are simply reminding the agencies that that is not a defensible response to Sackett or an appropriate approach to the rulemaking.
Briggs expects a new final rule within a couple of months.
The agencies are using their good cause exemption to bypass the formal rulemaking process, which will allow them to finalize this rule at lightning speed. So they have said that they will have a finalized rule complete before September 1st. And our fear is that the agencies aren't going to make all the necessary changes to ensure that this rule respects the holding in Sackett.
Michael Clements, Washington.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.